דף חס עמוד א', seven lines before it spreads at the bottom. Seven lines before the widest lines. Right? Got the widest lines, seven lines up. First one on the line is Mikulu. Right? Okay? So move in one word after the dot. New sub discussion. Amar le Rove le Rifron bar Pope. Rove said to Rifron bar Pope, le melon mar mehani mili ma'al yase. Why don't you tell us one of those profound things? The amarta mishmei de Rav Chisda that you have related in the name of Rav Chisda, the mili de Beit Knishta, on the subject of shuls. Amar le, so he told him. Hachi Omar Rav Chisda. Here's what Rav Chisda said. Mai diksiv. What's meant by the pasuk that says, Oyev Hashem Sharei Tzion Mikol Mishkan Eis Yaakov. Hashem loves more the gateways of Tzion than all of the other dwelling places of Yaakov. Now, Tzion, okay, in general, you know, Tzion means Tzion. Tzion is Yerushalayim. But the word Tzion, not the name of the place, but the word Tzion means a place that is marked. The Tzion is a marker. So therefore, we're expounding it as a word, not as a place. Which means as follows. Oyev Hashem sho'orim ha-mitzionim ba'alocha. Hashem loves those gateways, or in other words, those places that are designated, marked, earmarked for halacha, yoyse mi batei knesios umi batei midrashos, more than shuls and batei medrash. Tomorrow? More than shuls or batei medrash? What? Well, it's not talking negatively, it's saying that there's something even greater. So, the Hainu, we'll explain as we go along. The Hainu, the Omar Abichia Ba'ami Mishmei De'ula. So, in other words, we're saying that there's a place that's even greater than a shul or a bismedrish. Now, we have to take this in perspective of what we've been seeing in the previous, the greatness of what a shul is. And we're saying that a place designated for halacha is even greater. This is the intent of what Rabbi Chiya Ba'ami said in the name of Ula. From the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, when there was a Beis Hamikdash, Hashem's place was the Beis Hamikdash. That was His place on earth. But from the day the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, Ein loy la'kadosh baruch hu ba'ilomai ela arba amis shel halacha bilvad. Hashem considers His place for Amis where halacha takes place. So what's being stated here? Basically what's being stated here is that where people are engaged in halacha is the most beloved place that Hashem has on earth. More than Batei Knesiyos, which is shuls, places that are designated for davening, and more than Batei Midrashos, and more than places that are designated for learning. Let's understand this. What's being stated here? There's no question that a shul is a highly beloved place. And there's no question that a Beis Medrash, where any form of learning takes place, is a highly beloved place. Very, very special place. Yashar Koyach. Thank you. But yet, halacha takes the cake. Now let's understand that. We've said many times the concept, this is basically, the Rambam has a very long exposition on this in his introduction to the Mishnah, to Mishnayos. We've said many times, putting it into a little bit more Maharal style terms, but this is basically what the Rambam says. We've said many times that the purpose of Yashar Koyach of Yirmiyah, that the purpose of
Okay, I take back what I said before the shir.
Miscommunication got recommunicated. Okay. The purpose of this world is that there should be a place for Torah to materialize, to actually take on physical form. Torah is abstract concepts. And we know that even the halachas that we know, which seem very connected to this world, really represent much deeper concepts. Torah is Hashem's mind. The purpose of creating this world is in order to create a stage for Torah to actually materialize, Torah to be brought into real life. Now, there are two levels of this. The Rambam says, it's a great length, he says, he gets a whole long exposition showing how everything in the world is here for the purpose of serving man, and the purpose of man is this, what we're about to describe. There are two levels of this. The first level is for man to learn the principles of Torah. Principles of Torah meaning beginning with getting to know Hashem, understand Hashem, understand Hashem's will. And the next level is for that actually to be brought into action. And therefore, where halacha is taking place, halacha is actually what begins with learning it, and then continues with actually carrying it out. Learning that actually translates into deed, that actually translates into action, is the epitomizing the whole purpose of the entire world. Action without the learning is not it, and the learning without the action is not it. It's the action that actually translates into real life is characterizing the whole purpose of the creation. That is what's supposed to be loved for Hashem. I'll just take this to a little bit of a further level. Hashem is Torah. That's what Hashem is. We've explained many times that you have Torah is full of very physical mitzvahs. Right? If one ox gores another ox. We've explained many times that actually those mitzvahs really represent, all the mitzvahs in the Torah really represent deeper concepts. That's why we know a little bit of exposure to Kabbalah-style works that we have show us how all these different mitzvahs really have much deeper esoteric meaning. Deeper than that too. Just what? Hashem wanted all that to actually come to life. And therefore Hashem translated it into these mundane physical terms. Hashem set situation up that you have an ox and the neighbor has an ox, one ox can kill another ox, and ordered that these deeper precepts can come to life through these halachas being kept. So therefore, step number one is, the purpose of this world is for these halachas to actually have physical expression. For Hashem's Torah, for Hashem's mindset, kiviyachol, for that absolute value system to actually come to life in this world. Everything in the world revolves around that. All the galaxies revolve around that. All of plant life, animal life, all the workings of this world, all the nations of the world are revolving around creating a setting for that. Now the first stage of that is...
Why is that so important?
Torah is the absolute truth. Everything revolves around that. Now, the first stage of that is, the point of it all is that Hashem created a world in which kiviyachol, he doesn't exist. Kiviyachol. He stepped back. We're meant to give Hashem physical manifestation. This is really the greatness of it. We're meant to give Hashem physical manifestation. How? Through our life. When we live Torah, we are giving Hashem physical manifestation in this world. The first stage of that is when a person learns Torah. Person learns Torah, a person is actually drawing Hashem into this world. Hashem is completely aphysical. Is that how you pronounce it? Aphysical, aphysical, aphysical. Completely aphysical. Hashem is kiviyachol, not a part of the physical world. A person learns Torah, a person is taking Hashem's will, and now it's in his cells. It's in his brain cells. It's got physical manifestation. Learning Torah is already giving Hashem physical manifestation in this world. This we have to note, by the way. I'm using Hashem and Torah interchangeably. Torah kiviyachol is Hashem. Hashem is all intellect. Torah is Hashem's intellect. Just that everything we know about Torah is just the tip of the iceberg. Torah is Hashem's intellect, and therefore, By learning Torah, you are actually giving Hashem kibiyachol physical expression in this world. It's in your mind. It's in a physical mind. Hashem has materialized in a physical world. Now the next step of that is to actually go live it, to play it out. And then mamish, when you pay for the ox that your ox killed, you are mamish bringing Hashem kibiyachol into the world in a physical way. The physical world now manifests Hashem. Every mitzvah that you do, every avera that you refrain from, is giving Hashem physical manifestation in this world. If we want to sum up our job in this world, it's basically that. Representing and manifesting Hashem. That's the concept of Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem means sanctifying Hashem in this world, bringing Hashem out in this world. That is what halacha is. Because when you're learning something that's just going to remain on the theoretical level, that's very great. That's very great. It also has a level of this. But the epitome is when it's actually brought out to physical action. Then you are epitomizing what the whole world is about. The purpose of the entire world. That's what everything revolves around. And therefore, yes, we're being told that the four cubits of halacha is the focal point of Hashem's whole purpose in this world. Now, by the way, I'll just note that halacha does not necessarily mean Yeridaya. It means anything that translates into Torah action. Halacha can also mean learning Yirat Shamayim. Right? Anything that Lamaisa you're going to put into practice in life, that you're going to live out, is qualifies for this concept. So basically when we say that it's greater than Shul Sabbat Imejr, Shul Sabbat Imejr is just Torah. These are areas of Torah that are not actually going to manifest in real life. That's very great too. But the epitome is the Torah that's actually going to translate into deed. That's what this Gemara is telling us. Now, the Maharal takes us a step further, as usual, Kedarkoi, and he says, really, all Gashmi is Be'etzem, all Gashmi is really is a certain inhibiting Hashem's presence. Like we said, Hashem is aphysical. Any Gashmi seems to be a certain inhibition, inhibiting factor in Hashem's presence. Until that Gashmi turns into halacha. When Gashmi actually turns into a mitzvah, when a person's Gashmi is like a body, is actually carrying out a mitzvah, there, that's the only real mitzvah that there is. That's giving Hashem, once again, that's Hashem is now being expressed physically. That's the only physicality that has real meaning. And therefore, yes, you want to know what is the purpose of the world. You see a person fulfilling a halacha, that's where Hashem is manifest in this world. Any halacha. What's that? Any halacha. Any halacha is Hashem's will being manifest in this world.
You say that Hashem and the Torah are the same thing. When you have Maimri Chazal that would seem to say that, this is, that they're not. Yisakel Barais of Bar Alma. You're not looking into himself. How do you reconcile?
Istakel Barais of Bar Alma really means exactly what we're saying. Rabbi Yitzchak is citing the Zohar. The Zohar says that Hashem created the world through the Torah. Yeah, the Torah is the blueprint of the world. What does that mean? That means exactly what we're discussing. The world is meant to provide a stage, probably a better word than that, a stage for the Torah to take on material form. And therefore, when we say that Hashem looked into the Torah and created the world, what that means is there's a concept in Torah not to steal. Therefore, Hashem set things up in the world such that if somebody else who owns things, you don't have them and you're tempted to take them. That's why somebody is such a thing as being tempted to take somebody else's thing. It's not that you have a neighbor, he owns things. It's not nice for you to take it, so Hashem said, well, don't steal. The other way around. Since there's a very deep concept called don't steal, that has much, much deeper esoteric meaning, Hashem wanted to give that physical expression, and therefore, he created a situation where it's possible to steal and you don't. Now you're asking, so is Torah and Hashem two different things? No, really, what it means is...
If you bow down to a sacred Torah, then you wouldn't be a Bodhisattva. If you bow down to a sacred Torah and say that that's Hashem, is that a Bodhisattva or is that a... how far do you take this concept? That's what I'm trying to like.
Okay, the truth is that the question that you're asking if Torah manifests Hashem's will, and Hashem's will is Him, which is really, it's mamish the words of the Leshem. The words of the Leshem is that whereas with a person, will, desire, is a completely abstract thing. There isn't an entity called will. It's an abstract thing. Whereas with Hashem's will is Him. Hashem is in His will. You connect Hashem's will, you connect it to Hashem Himself. When you bring Hashem's will into your mind, you are bringing Hashem into your mind. So, if so, anywhere where Hashem's will is being expressed, does that mean that you're actually seeing Hashem? And that...
And Hashem has a form. You go back
and Hashem has a form? So the truth is that really, on a certain level, any existence in this world is Hashem revealing Himself in some form, on a certain level. Yet, we're not allowed... We are mechuyim to relate to it as something different than Hashem. That's how the Nefesh HaKayim puts it. That's a very deep concept, which I don't want to get into because I don't think I can put it across well. But, yes, there are areas where Hashem is manifest, and yet you're not allowed to relate to it as Hashem. That's a... Nefesh HaKayim has a long arichus on that. As for the question of Sefer Torah per se, the truth is that on the contrary, we bow, for example, we bow towards the Kodesh HaKadoshim, towards the Aron in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because Hashem said, this is representing the place where my presence is going to rest. Because we had a special etzem to do that. We don't bow to other places, even if they also represent Hashem to a certain extent for us, because we're not allowed to do that. But it's an issue of how Hashem wants us to relate to it. But yes, to a certain extent, every Jew is a reflection, is a manifestation, is a revelation of Hashem in this world. That's what the Tzelem Elikim is. To an extent, every Jew is a revelation of Hashem in this world. In a way. Don't bow down to Jews, though. I'll leave it at that. It's a deep subject.
So what is there? Any key mitzvah is a halacha?
Yes, absolutely.
So what's the difference between this medrash and halacha?
What's that?
So this medrash and davening also?
No. The point here is where it all comes together. The learning plus the maaseh. Where it's learning that's actually going to lead to carrying out.
You do the maaseh, you leave it at home.
That's in itself a mitzvah, but yet... It reaches its fullest extent when it actually translates into physical action. That's the idea. Yes. All the laws of nature are Hashem's laws and are representations of Hashem's will. But the laws of nature were formed in order to accommodate the Torah. Again, laws of nature are technical. Hashem made them in order to have a world working in order to serve the Torah. The Torah is actually Kiviyachol Hashem's essence. The laws of nature were formed in order to provide a setting for the Torah to be manifested. It's like we explained before, that information is expressing, on a deeper level, that information is actually Hashem's whole mindset, Kiviyachol, which is actually who Hashem is.
Hashem is just His mindset.
What's that? What is Hashem? What is Hashem?
I don't know, but you just...
I don't want to say just. I don't want to say just. Hashem is pure intellect. That's how I'll put it. There's nothing else. There aren't arms. Hashem is pure intellect. Hashem is a seichel nivdal. That's Hashem. There's no other element to Hashem other than that. He doesn't need anything else. Anything else would just be a chisaron. Anything else is just a limitation. Okay. Now, what's that? So now that
the strange thing that they didn't see him seems a little strange. Why?
Why? Are not?
Second rate.
Well, then, according to what we're saying here, they are. They are. But again, you have to remember that it's all relative. We're saying that a shul is not the same level as a place where practical Judaism is being studied. A shul is not on the same level as that. It is second rate. Just have to realize, second rate doesn't mean lousy. Second rate means that it's only worth a trillion. Whereas a place where practical halacha is being studied is worth a Google. Whatever you'll call it. You have to realize, that's the key word here is relative. We were seeing, this Gemara is dafka coming against the Gemaras we learned earlier that are showing the unbelievable greatness of what a shul is. Today? This shir. Meaning, anytime you're learning something, it's going meant to translate into action, will translate into action. That's what we're talking about. It could be Musar too, by the way. When a person learns Musar, anything that's meant to actually have an impact on your life that you're going to carry out physically is the concept we're discussing. And therefore, the truth is that most Batei Medrash make this grade. Most Batei Medrash make this grade. Unless it's mamish learning something that's just on the theoretical level. But any time you're learning something that has practical import, it's in this category. How do we deal with learning kachim? How do we deal with learning kachim? So first of all, the Chafetz Chaim basically says that the truth is we are learning kachim in order to actually carry it out. Now, well, the future could be tomorrow morning. We want it to be. When we're learning kachim, we're not learning it in a theoretical way. We are learning it in order to actually carry it out, and therefore it does make this great. We don't relegate our fulfillment of the halachas of kachim to the unknown future. We relegate it to tomorrow morning. Anytime you're learning halacha in order to actually practice it, carry it to that. And in fact, the truth is that today, and the truth is that today they actually, the Chafetz Chaim actually introduced this idea, but there are tracks of learning that make a point of learning kachim halacha lemaisa for koyanim. The koyanim should mamish be ready to do it. In fact, there's a person who has a goat farm somewhere in the north. He wants to be ready when Mashiach comes to actually provide kosher karbanos. There are a lot of halachas pertaining to animals that are qualified as karbanos. Now, you know, people don't take it so practically. When lemaisa it comes down to it, it's going to be a serious geshäft. It's going to be, you know, you see people spending hours looking for an esrog. It's going to be complicated to really find an animal that's qualified. There's a lot of halachas involved. What he does is, that's paraduma. Not every carbon is disqualified by being used. Anyways, when you're talking about goat and sheep, they're not generally work animals anyways. But this person has a farm where he breeds goats and sheep. He breeds that he makes sure to breed them in a way that they will be kosher for karbanos. Not only that, he has a badatz hechsher, meaning he came to Rav Moshe Sternbuch with the idea, told him this is what I want to do. I want mashgichim coming to make sure, to tell me what to do. Not any mashgiach can do that, we understand, right? Not every mashgiach who can give hashgach on a fruit store can do that. But they worked, the badatz worked it out for him. He has a farm which is under the badatz hashgacha, preparing kosher karbanos. That person, when he's learning kachim, he's learning it halacha lemaisa. That's the approach to learning kachim. Okay, someone asked the Chazon Ish taka. Chazon Ish used to learn anything he learned from the beginning down to the bottom line halacha. Hilchus Tum and Tara, he learned in the same way that he learned Hilchus Shabbos. Someone once commented when in the Chazon Ish's company that, Mashiach's going to come, who's going to know the Paskin? Chazon Ish kind of said, naturally, he said, I can Paskin. Learn it with a real approach of halacha lemaisa. Some Musa could also be halacha lemaisa. You realize that too.
What about something not a kachim like shoshim al nafas atara? You know, it's not always practical for most people that don't own farming. The idea to just take it to general rules of Ezekiel,
how these rules would translate into practical halacha. Okay, Now, let's see a very interesting, we talked about, we want to translate this into action. How are we going to translate this into action? Let's see, very interesting practical implication of this. Mama Abaye. So Abaye said, Meresh have garisne begoy beis. I used to do my learning at home. And what we're seeing here is that a place where a person is learning halacha is the holiest place in the world. So Abaye said, I used to do my learning at home. And I would go to Davin in Shul. But then, when I heard this statement, Rabbi Chiya bar Ami said in the name of Ula, from the day the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, all Hashem has in His world is, now again, all Hashem has in His world is relative. We have to keep stressing that word. We said that the Shekhinah is present in any shul, right? Relative. Hashem's primary presence in this world is in a place where the Arba Amishal Halacha Bilha. The four cubits where Halacha is studied. So I have a Matzlina Elohecha de Garisna. I then started davening only where I learned. That's the practical import of this discussion. When you realize that the primary presence of the Shekhinah is in a place where Halacha is learned, we understand that that is actually a preferred place to daven. Even more than all the great things we've been seeing about a shul. So the truth is, what exactly is Abaye saying here? We can understand what Abaye is saying in two ways. Basically what you're asking. We can either understand him to mean, I used to learn at home. Then when I heard that, that's the most auspicious place to daven, since I daven in shul, I did my learning in shul. Right? I took my learning to shul in order to give the shul that quality. Or we might understand that he's saying, well, I used to daven in shul, but since I heard that, I daven at home. Which is he saying? Let's leave that for a minute. Let's leave that for a minute and get back to it.
The main
question is it a place that's designated for learning? Is that the designation of the place? That's how it comes out in halacha. Now, similarly, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi apalgav da'avlu tleisa beknishte b'Tveria. Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, although they had 13 shuls in Tveria, that's where they lived, in Tveria. Leimatzu elabene amude heched avogasi. They would only daven, they used to learn between the pillars of the building, wherever they were. They would make a point of only davening in that place. So here also, it's a little ambiguous in the Gemara, what does this mean? Does it mean as opposed to going to shul? Does it mean they skipped a minyan? What does it mean? What does it mean exactly? So the truth is, this is a big machloikis in the Rishonim. What exactly this means? There are many Rishonim that say that yes, person does his learning at home because that's where he learns best. Then it's preferable to daven at home than to daven in shul. Preferable to daven at home without a minyan than to daven in shul. That's what some Rishonim say. Big chiddush. But they're saying that that's what this Gemara is saying. And the Rambam says no. The Rambam says no. It's a given that davening is betzibul. The point of the Gemara is that even though we generally say v'roiv am hadras melech, you have a shul with a big minyan, you have the central shul in the neighborhood, it's best to daven there. Yet it's better for a person, say they have a group studying together in their little place, better for them to daven just the 10 of them alone there than go to the big shul to daven. Better to daven, that's how Lamaisa, the portion translated la'alocha. Better to daven in a small little bit smedrish where halacha is studied than in a big huge shul with 100 people. That's how it's taken halacha Lamaisa. Even though there is a shita, just noting it just in order to bring home the point. But yes, better to even skip tefillah with a minyan in order to daven where you learn. But halacha Lamaisa is taken that no, don't skip tefillah with tzibur. But it's always prefer to daven where you learn, even with a tiny minyan, than to daven even in a big shul. That will always be the most preferred choice.
What's your relevance of the first part of the Gemara, the Yom Kippur of Beis HaMikdash? What's the connection? What was before that? During the time of the Beis HaMikdash?
During the time of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mikdash in an absolute way was the place of Hashem's presence. That was the place where Hashem designated as His presence. Question is, what today is the equivalent? Where is the primary presence of the Shekhinah today? And the answer to that is Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. Chaim Volozhiner actually makes a big deal about this. He says, primary presence of the Shekhinah in the town of the Beis HaMikdash was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Look what a big deal it was to enter then, right? What we're saying is now, what used to be in the Beis HaMikdash is now the four kibbutz of Halacha. The epitome of the presence of the Shekhinah was the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kohen Gadol entered once a year with a lot of trepidation. Hey, it was a big deal. He used to go in with a little rope tied around his foot in case they needed to reel him out. So Chaim Volozhiner says you have to realize that today the equivalent of that is the four Amos of Halacha, meaning when you sit down to learn, you are creating a Kodesh HaKadoshim which you are entering. That's why you have to really approach your learning with a sense of awe, with a sense of appreciation of what you're about to do. And yes, now that there's no Beis HaMikdash, in a sense, it's more accessible. It's more accessible. You have to realize that's why, yes, one of the Kenani Torah is Be'ema, with awe. You have to approach your learning with awe, with a sense of awe. Realize what you're doing.
Did you understand what it is that you just said? Because I really didn't.
I think I understand what I just said.
No, I'm not being funny. What I mean is, when you say that the four cubits of where you're sitting and learning is like the Kodesh Kodesh, well, I don't know what that means.
Neither do I.
Oh, that's what I mean.
All I'll say is, it's mind-boggling, so our minds are boggled.
Okay. That's the answer.
Yeah. But it's something to let settle. Really appreciate. A lot of these Gemaras are really bringing home the point that we are dealing with things on a regular basis and we have no idea what their greatness is. Since we're so used to it, it's okay, yeah, it's shul. Everybody has a shul. Everybody learns.
In your pajamas at night on your couch, can you take out a sefer and learn?
Oh.
I guess okay. Other thing about this, they said, what else are you going to do when you're sitting on your couch? You know, how does that fit?
Okay, so you're getting into delicate ground. The truth is that this is an issue that we'll say is not halachic. But, for example, on that mission that says that a person should with the ema, right? Torah should be done with awe. Example, it says that we know that in earlier times, until the time of Rabbi Gamliel, it was considered sacrilegious to sit when you learn. A person sits down when he learns Torah? How could that be? You're going to sit down when you're talking to Hashem? Hashem is right here in front of you. You're engaging the Shekhinah. You're going to sit? It's sacrilegious to sit. Just, if we're going to only learn as long as we can stand, it's going to be a limited amount of learning we're going to do. Rav Moshe Feinstein's father, by the way, did all of his learning on his feet. He had about a 20-hour-a-day schedule. That's including davening and everything, but 20-hour-a-day schedule basically on his feet. Through Moshe Feinstein's father. And there were people. There were people throughout the generation who actually practiced this. But it says, in the time of Rabbi Gamliel, Yorda Chul Shalo Oilam, people's constitutions became weaker. People became weaker. They couldn't handle it. So what are we going to do? Are we going to skip Torah? You know, it's also a sacrilege to have Torah in writing. It's also a sacrilege. Torah? You're supposed to encompass it by heart. But we say, as the generations deteriorate, the most important thing is to learn Torah. Right? That's number one. But the truth is, we have to work to counter the feeling of familiarity, and that's something that everybody does. So another example that is given by the Mepharshim is that that's why there were also great people who would make a point of always dressing themselves in a respectable way whenever they sat down to learn Torah. But again, if it's a question of, so should I not learn? No, learn. But that's a feeling that I often had. I'll be a little frank now. I sleep without a pajama shirt. Okay? I sleep in an undershirt. More comfortable for me. And often when I'm sitting in bed before we turn off the light, my wife is finishing to get ready. I have a sefer on the night table. I like to learn something. I try to be conscious of this, because this is an important thing brought across here. Why don't we put on the pajama shirt at least? Put on the pajama shirt. These are things we should be conscious of, these things. But again, don't not learn because you can't do it in the most respectable way possible. But that's the challenge, not to grow accustomed, not to grow familiar. Realize that when it is easy enough to take that extra step to demonstrate the proper reverence, do it. It's good for you also to really retain those feelings. There was once a yeshiva bacher, Esther Meir Chodesh was Mashgiach in Chevron. He was from old Slabodka. Slabodka was famous, pre-war Slabodka, was famous for really bringing out the greatness of what a human being is. Training people to relate to themselves with reverence. And the whole style of Slabodka was extremely dignified because of the realization that a person carries in him Tzelem Elokim. Rabbi Avigdor Miller said that Slabodka was considered sacrilegious to make a funny face. Human face is reflecting the Shechina kiviyachol. Always has to look dignified. So, Yeshiva Bacher once asked Rav Meir Chodesh, he said, always hear about, you know, the great dignity, the godless ha'adam that was manifest in Slabodka. What exactly does that mean? So Rav Meir Chodesh told him, if you want an example to still see remnants of the old Slabodka, go to, there was a Jew by the name of Reb Zvulun Graz. He was the Rav of Rehovot. He died probably about 25 years ago. He was the Rav of Rehovot. He said, go observe Reb Zvulun Graz. So this person had opportunity to sleep in his house one time. Rav Meir Chodesh told him, watch him. You'll see what we mean by Slabodka. He went to sleep. He slept, it was a small little apartment. He slept on the couch. And in the middle of the night, he heard of Zvulun Graz coming out of his room. He's coming out of his room because he had to go to the bathroom. So this person, he was kind of half up, and Zvulun Graz came out of his room to go to the bathroom. Bacher said, after he came out of the bathroom, he didn't realize that anybody was up watching him. He said he saw him go into his room, and he heard motion, a commotion. He came out of his room wearing his frock coat, his tie, his hat. He said Ashayota. Then he got back into pajamas and went back to bed. That's the reverence, the dignity of the old timers, of Slabodka. So that was the example. Now again, for us to live that way, we'll go a little crazy. But the point is, because we're so accustomed, because we have Torah at our fingertips all the time, let's develop some of the sensitivities. Some of the sensitivities we should be having to Torah all the time. We should realize, that's mamish a major agenda when we're learning these Gemaras, to realize that yes, so many of the things that we live in on a daily basis, shul, everybody's got a shul, he's making such a big deal, what an unbelievable schus it is for a community to have a shul. Realize that we're living full spiritual luxuries and a very, very, very great things that we can't even appreciate because we're so used to them. Okay. Amar Abichir Ba'Avi Mishmei De'ula Gadol Hanene Mi'Egiyoy Yoser Mi'Yerei Shamayim. Person who enjoys his toil or the results of his toil is greater than Yirei Shamayim. This will have to be explained. But first let's see how the Gemara infers this. Ilu gabe Yirei Shamayim ksiv. Regarding Yirei Shamayim it says, Ashrei ish yoreis Hashem. Fortunate is the man who fears Hashem. Regarding a person who enjoys the results of his toil, see, says in the pasuk, when you eat, when you enjoy the toil of your hands, ashrecha v'toivoch, says more than just you're fortunate. It says you're fortunate and it's good for you. Which we expound to mean Ashrecha bo ilam hazeh. You're fortunate in this room. Etayv lach lo ilam haba. It's good for you in the next room. Ulegaveir Yishamayim, when it talks about the fortunateness of the Yerei Shamayim, the God-fearing person, v'tayv lach lo iksiv bay. It doesn't say that extra level. It says he's fortunate. It doesn't say and it will be good for you. So what does this mean? First of all, what does it mean? A person who enjoys his toil. You take this very superficially, it means a person who enjoys the fruits of his own labor. So what does this mean? Bill Gates enjoys the fruits of his labor, right? He's greater than Yerei Shamayim. Is that what it means? What does this mean? So, this has to be understood on a few levels. First of all, like you're also, you asked the same question you asked earlier. It sounds like Yerei Shamayim is a second rate. So first of all, we're saying Godu Anenimi Yigia Yoyser Yerei Shamayim implies Yerei Shamayim is a very great thing. The next level is Anenimi Yigia. A person who enjoys the fruit of his toils. Meaning, it's the next step after Yerei Shamayim. There's no such thing as skipping the Yerei Shamayim and going straight to the unbelievable Madrega of enjoying the fruits of your toils. But Lamaisa, what does it mean? What does it mean practically? The Vilna Gaon says something very, very profound, which is really, the truth is, basically everybody says something here very profound. The Gaon talks about this, B'nai Yisachar, Mamami Pano, the Marsha. Each one is mamish a whole lesson in itself. And the Vilna Gaon says something that's mamish a fundamental understanding of Yiddishkeit bichlal. First, let's note the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara says, a person who enjoys his toil is greater than Yerei Shamayim. Now, we might instinctively understand that as referring to physical toil. A person enjoys, he works, makes money and enjoys it. But who said? The Gemara didn't say that. The Gemara said, what's that? Okay, Yigia Kapa means the fruit of the labor of your hands. But that means the same thing. Who said that means physical? What does Yigia mean? Pasuk says, Adam la'amal yulad. One of our purposes in this, Yigia means hard work. A person who enjoys his hard work is a very, very great madrega. The Gaon says it means hard work in Ruchnius. That's what it means. Hard work in Avodas Hashem. Now, what the Gaon is saying is as follows, and this is something that's very important to realize. The greatest madrega is a person who enjoys his Avodas Hashem. A person who serves Hashem because he has Yerei Shamayim. He's scared. He knows that he's got to do it. Then you have a person who serves Hashem because of the fulfillment that he feels at being able to serve Hashem. Which one is greater? The one who enjoys it or the one who doesn't? Superficially you might say, well, a person who does it without enjoying it is on a higher level. But the Gaon says, no. Our Gemara is telling us that that's not true. The epitome is a person who enjoys his Yiddishkeit. We're not meant to be suffering Jews. We're not meant to be suffering Jews. I said that many times in Shiurim, but now I have the going to support it. We're not meant to be suffering Jews. We are. The epitome is a person who can enjoy his Avodas Hashem. Slabodka, they said, Mitzvah Sishar starts off his Sefer by saying, Yisoid HaChasidus V'sherosh HaAvodah HaTmima Hi Shisbar V'yisames Etzel HaOdo Machoy V'osoy Bo Elomoy. Tzvi Sharm says that the root of everything is for a person to set his sights know what is it that everything that I'm doing in this world is focused on. And he says, "Vine limdunu chachamenu zechaynam lebracha she'adam lo nivro lis'ane gelal Hashem." What is our agenda in life? Man was created to enjoy Hashem. Now, the Mesilas Yisharim goes on to say that the main place of that enjoyment is the Melech Havah, and you get to that by working in this world. In Slabodka, they said a Chiddush. Slabodka, they said, take the Mesilas Yisharim sentence. Man is created to enjoy Hashem. Slabodka, they came with a bold statement, and they said, you can also put the period after the enjoy. Man is created to enjoy, also created to enjoy Hashem. Man is created to enjoy. It's a bold statement. Slabodka went out the type, the whole focus of Slabodka was pshat. understanding, the depth of the Pashat understanding. We have to realize something. A big difference between people and animals is that people are always looking for good times. People are always looking for good times. Animals, once they have their needs in place, they're okay. But people are always looking for good times, even when they have all of their human needs. And they want more, want better. That is coming from a very, very holy place. Even though it's often perverted and channeled in the wrong direction. But it's coming from a very, very holy place. Man is meant to seek enjoyment and happiness. In this world, not just in the next world. In this world, man is meant to look for good times. Just what's the challenge? The challenge is learning where to find the good times. That's the whole challenge. I'll put that on hold for a minute. I'll get back to that. Cool. So now I'll finish the saying here. So Ipso is saying that yes, the fact that people in this world tend to look for good times is actually an indication of the fact that we're meant to have good times in this world. Now, there's another puzzle. Man is in this world to work hard. So which is man's purpose in this world? To work hard or to have a good time? Answer is both are supposed to be together. People, and that's another thing you see with people, do not find fulfillment if they're not working hard. That's how it is. You see in the big world outside, people are just indulging if they're a while commit suicide. They go to drugs. Right? People can only really enjoy, really feel fulfillment if they're having a good time. If they're working hard. The two are meant to come together. But, and that's why the truth is you see many people, again, outside of the religious world, who do. When people are successful at their work, it gives them a sense of fulfillment that's more fun than other people who are just out there living it up. That's also coming from a Kaddish root. Now the epitome of this is when you really bring the two together. You have to channel where you get your fulfillment out of hard work, maybe fulfillment out of spiritual hard work. An even greater level of that is when you actually reach a level where you're enjoying it. Your whole life just turns into the fun of doing the mitzvahs. That's actually what the Gemara is saying here. Have a person who's Yirei Shamayim. He fears God. He knows that he has to be doing what he needs to be doing. And he does it loyally. Because he knows that he better not miss. The greater level is the person who enjoys the hard work. That's the Vilna Gaon here. There's more on this. We'll save it for next time. But to answer your question, where did Chazal get that there's actually two implications here? In a general way, the Malbim just says that we don't usually assume that a double terminology in a pasuk is amplification. Because we would naturally assume that the pasuk is coming to give another message with each phrase. Now, we leave it up to Chazal to figure out how to construe that. Because the truth is, we don't even know Hebrew. The Kuzari says that also, that Lashon Kodesh is a very, very complex and intricate language. The Hebrew that we're using, Lashon Kodesh that we use, is a very superficial level of Hebrew. I'll give you, anybody who doesn't believe me, open up Iyov and try to just learn Pashat Pshat. I don't mean the first three Prakim which I'm describing the story. Open up Perek Yud and Iyov, read three Psukim and explain me Pashat Pshat. There's no Pashat Pshat there. So we think it's because it's complex. Kuzari says no. We don't know the Hebrew. Lashon Kodesh, when it was being used right, we don't know that anymore. We have a limited connection to what Hebrew used to be. So therefore, we really do need Chazal to help us make sense of Pesukim. Okay, we're in mid-sentence, but we'll have to continue the sentence on Tuesday.
Take away from that beautiful chat.